وأصحابه وأتباعه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم رب زدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Beloved friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, today we've gathered here, not because of big bayan or something, yeah? But a friend of mine, is, in fact, Mushrik's father, Hafiz Mushrik's father, Sayyid Mubarak, was concerned. You know, sometimes some people, they worry about something. We should all be worried about things. So, worried about our huffaz. They stay connected to deen. They act upon the Qur'an. You know, the gift and the ni'mat that we have as being hafiz, really, it's such a very big ni'mat. Rasulullah has said that we are the best, the ones who learn the Qur'an and teach the Qur'an. خَيْرَكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is the one who learns the Qur'an and thereafter teaches it. So, this is just, we're gathered here, maybe, it's just a muzakara to remind each other the importance, and then what we can do, what we should be doing to protect the Qur'an, and also what we can do in respect of doing khidmat for people in society, and also other things that we may be lacking in, reading salat with jamaat, you know, and other things of deen, following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look, if we study Rasulullah's life, if somebody was to say Rasulullah's life, look what Ammi Jan, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, said. She said, when somebody asked about the akhlaq and the way, how did Rasulullah live? So she said, did you read the Quran? Rasulullah's life, khuluquhu al-Quran. Rasulullah's way of life was the Quran. And the greatest example of Quran and everything that the Quran teaches, this was the life of Rasulullah. So that means if somebody is 100% follower of the Sunnah and he's connected to the Sunnah and his life, he has the whole Sunnah in his life, then what does that, if somebody I after my father-in-law rahmatullahi alayhi wa rahim wa ta'ala subs Abdullah's demise, our Shaykh is compiling a book, his younger brother, on his life in that. So he told, when he came to Zambia, just after he passed away, we were there, and he was saying to the teachers and others, and he told me, if you remember anything, just write it down. So I remember something in a book called The Adherence of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, on the Sunnah. How he lived a life of sunnah, right? And there at the beginning, his distinguished khalifa, his distinguished student, disciple, Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Sufi Iqbasab, who passed away in Medina Munawwara too, and buried in Jannatul Baqi, he wrote, if somebody was to ask us about our Shaykh, what was his life, we would say, his life was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, what is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi life? What was his way of living? خُلُقُهُ al-Quran. So if a person has Rasulullah's life in his life, he follows exactly in the manner of Rasulullah, that means he's following the Quran. Quran. In fact, there's a big fitna nowadays too. Really. I remember I was in Darus Salaam, last year in the youth program? Yeah, in a program there. And a person comes to me after the program or something. Yeah, it was last year when Mawlana Karan was here. I remember. Last year, when Mawlana Karan was here from South Africa, a person comes, and then, old man, and he started trying to prove that there's nothing, no basis of the sunnah, and no basis of hadith. And it's only the Qur'an. And then he's bringing ayahs of the Qur'an. Right? So now if somebody says to you, so I told him the وَمَا يَنْتِقُوا عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيٌّ يُوحَىٰ, that Rasulullah only speaks wahi, and there's something called wahi matlu, ghair matlu, and this is, and I told him وَمَن يَتَيَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ, a person who obeys Rasulullah, obeys Allah, and all this. Then after, in that week, when I was reading the Quran, I came upon this ayah, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ And we reveal the kitab and hikmah. Today I'm telling you, especially you other ones who will comprehend this, is that sometimes if somebody says, you know, nowadays it's coming to that. And there's a group called Parvezis who started this long time ago in Pakistan, that they, you know, against the Quran. And also, the shares, they use it too. When they want to use the hadith for their purpose, they'll use hadith. Otherwise, they'll say, no, all hadith is wrong. Right? Well, if they even say the Quran isn't perfect, so then, you know, where they stand. So he was saying, no, but where is it in the Quran? The Quran, that there's something else revealed. There's the Quran is in it, isn't it? And he was trying to... So then I said to him, look here, وَانْزَلَ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ والحكمة, and Allah done tanzeel of hikmah too. And what is hikmah? Hikmah is hadith. Hikmah literal means wisdom. But the hadith is the greatest wisdom. So hadith in the life of Rasulullah. So I wrote in there that if the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, you know, if Sufi Qasab said that if somebody was to ask about our Shaykh, we'd say that his life was that life of Rasulullah. So I said, if somebody was to ask me about my father-in-law's life, I would say his life was that of his Shaykh. And his life was that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi. So that means to say Quran and Hadith. Understand? So beloved friends, today Allah has given us a ni'mat, the Quran. And this is a very big ni'mat. We study 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 2 years, whatever, to become a hafiz. Right? And then after we've become a hafiz of the Holy Quran, and then we don't read the Quran, oh, that is very bad. And if we forget the Quran, that is the worst thing that can happen for us. You know, if we forget the Holy Quran, imagine the ni'mat of Quran and a person forgets it. How can that be? So that's one aspect of the Quran, is Quran, reciting the Quran. Another aspect of the Quran is acting upon the Quran. And then the third aspect of the Quran is preaching the Quran. Or we can say it this way, is to know religion, to act upon religion, and to preach religion. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, Hadith of Bukhari, preach for me even if it's just one ayah. So what does one ayah mean here? What would the commentators say? It doesn't mean just ayat of the Holy Quran, but even a hadith. A person. So the biggest thing is that first, a person reads. So Allah made us hafiz, so we have a more advantage than the majority of the people. You know, that, you know, sometimes when we talk about Surah Kahf and reading Surah Kahf and that, and then you see our old, you know, Buddhas, they come into the masjid and, you know, they come early for Jummah and they're half an hour, they're reading Surah Kahf, and then, you know, oh, it's 5-10 minutes, we finish Surah Kahf, right? And then read Surah Yasin, Surah Safat, and on Friday you make dua after that, your dua is accepted, or even that, the person's still reading Surah Kahf, and then it says one narration, read Surah Hud on Friday, so you even read that, and that guy is still finishing off his Surah Kahf. Look at the ni'mat, it's a big ni'mat. You realize that, because subhanAllah, and they come half an hour, 1 hour before, in 5-10 minutes, you can't even read enough of, because we know the virtues. Alhamdulillah, right? But you know, these people who have this kind of connection with the Quran, the main thing, beloved friends, is how we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right now, if I'm a hafiz, I'm alim, okay, Alhamdulillah, it's a very big ni'mat. We should always thank Allah. We thank Allah, إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, Allah increases you. So if you say, oh Allah, all praises for you, oh Allah, I thank you very much, you're not going to say Jazakallah khairah. You're not going to say Jazakallah khairah to Allah, right? What does that mean, Jazakallah khairah? Can you say Jazakallah khairah to Allah? If somebody does good to you, Isa, if somebody gives you something, what do you say? MashaAllah. If Allah gives you something good, and Allah always gives us everything good. Everything that Allah gives us is good. Do we say Jazakallahu khairah?
No.
Why? What's the meaning of Jazakallahu khairah? Allah reward you. Allah give you the best, right? Allah reward you. It says in a hadith, "Man suni'a ilayhi ma'rufan faqala li fa'ilihi jazakallahu khairan faqad ablagha fi thana." So the perfect in the whole thing would be if a person says jazakallahu khaira, the whole thing. And Rasulullah sallallahu, do we don't have any sisters downstairs, do we? No. A person just put it on, because you know what, this thing is it on? Don't you know? Is it on? Because Hanif is in the kitchen, I think. It says in a hadith, a person who does good to somebody, and the person, if anybody's done good to, you should say jazakallahu khaira, and the person will pay back the person in complete.
I don't think he's off it. He's downstairs, but you know, it's all right.
So jazakallahu khaira. So we don't say that to Allah, do we? So but we'll say to Allah, "Oh, I thank you, Allah. Alhamdulillahi laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen." Right? Alhamdulillah, Allah, you've made me a Muslim. Oh Allah, you're so good. Allah, you're so great. Allah, you're so kind to me. You made me Muslim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you made me an ummati. Oh Allah, alhamdulillah, you give me this mu'jiza, this miracle, a living miracle, the Quran. Quran, the living miracle. Everything of the Holy Quran is a living miracle, subhanallah. Just the other day in our majlis we had, look, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine, he was a Nabil Ummi, an unlettered prophet. And this is not exaggeration, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know how to read or write, and he was unlettered. Unlettered meaning even a letter. Now for example, a young child who is going to begin kindergarten at the age of 3-4, can he recognize his name at the age of 5 in kindergarten? Usually they do. And they can even write their name. They can even, if let's say my son, Yusuf, so he'll know that's a Y. And he'll say, "This is Yusuf." Right? These little children, they'll know. Okay. That. And they can even probably write their name. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Sulh Hudaybiyah, when they made the peace treaty with the Kuffar, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, and the group of mushrikeen from Makkah were there, and Hazrat Ali was the Qatib writing this treaty. So Rasulullah write Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah, from him to. So they said, "Hey, relax. We're not going anywhere with this peace treaty. If we believe that you're Rasulullah, there won't even be no argument here. And we won't have this peace treaty. We don't even believe you're a Prophet of Allah. So you can't write that. Write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad the son of Abdullah, not Muhammad, the messenger of Allah." So Rasulullah said, "Indeed I am, and Allah knows, I am. But okay, Ali, write, rub off Muhammad, Rasulullah, and write Muhammad ibn Abdullah." So Hazrat Ali, do love and respect. So much love and respect of Rasulullah. So sometimes they say, should a person, if somebody commands you, and there's respect, so what do you give preference to? So here we see the proof of those people who say you give command, you give preference to respect. As Hazrat Ali said, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I can't rub off your name. I cannot rub off Muhammad Rasulullah. I cannot rub that off and write Muhammad." So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this to Hazrat Ali, "Oh Ali, show me where it says it. Put your fingers on it." So Ali radiallahu anhu said there. It says Muhammad Rasulullah. Now, this is a question. A 5 years old child, you give him a word of a lot of things and say, "Recognize your name on it." He'll recognize his name on it. Well, he doesn't know how to read or write, but he'll recognize it because he knows. Rasulullah couldn't even recognize. So was he, in reality, Nabil Ummi? What I want to tell you is that Rasulullah didn't even know where it says Muhammad Rasulullah, that he was pointed out, and then he rubbed it off like this, and then Hazrat Ali wrote whatever. Hazrat Ali said, "I can't rub it off. No way. I'll never do this. Once I've wrote your name, and you're the messenger of Allah, I cannot rub that off. Like the way is strong in my heart. It cannot be rubbed off my heart, cannot even be rubbed off physically anywhere in the world. I cannot do it because I don't have the power, Ya Rasulullah." So that wasn't against, that wasn't disobedience. That was just teaching us that sometimes you have to give preference to adab, etiquette, and muhabbat, and love. And So he didn't. He just then Rasulullah said, okay, then show me where it says that. And he rubbed it off. So Rasulullah, you know, it was just 3 weeks ago, and I had given homework to these students, and I don't know if any of them did it. They think I forgot. You know, all these older students in the majlis, all right, Sayyid Hassan, and they think I probably forgot. Right? And now you guys are going to get homework too. Okay, there are ayat in the Quran. One ayat, and it contains the 29 letters of the Arabic alphabet. There's two ayats like that in the Holy Quran. And Abdulazim, I want you to go home and check it out. You too. Hafiz Osama. What's your name? Yunus. Yahya. Yunus. Your brother is Yahya. Isa. We have two Isas here. Okay, we have Bilal here, we have a thing, we have Muhammad. Okay. Well, what's your name?
Minhaj.
You're Hafiz of the Quran too? MashaAllah. And Abdulazim? Yeah. What's your name, brother?
Ajman.
Yeah. Your name?
Talha.
Hafiz of the Quran too? Oh, MashaAllah. And you have Hafiz of the Quran? Okay. Umar, Osama, Isa. Huh. And what's your name?
Hafiz.
Yeah, what's your name?
Hafiz.
My name's... Oh, Hafiz! MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Allah make you Hafiz. Allah make you a Hafiz al-Hadith and Hafiz al-Quran. Hafiz. You know, you heard of Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani and Shafi rahmullah alayh? There's a person called Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani al-Shafi'i. You heard of the Sahih al-Bukhari. Remember where I left off, right? Because he said his name is Hafiz. So there are some people's brains giving, for example, that this person's memory. So Sheikh Mahmoud Gangohi rahmahullah, who Allah was, he was a master. And he's a person that if anybody anywhere in the world can sit in a debate, he would put the person down in a debate, any debate. That's how much Allah had given him intelligence. So he used to say three people's Hafiz, and one is Hafiz ibn Hajar's, one Mawlana Yahya Sahib Hazrat Sheikh's father, and another one Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri. So Hafiz, you can imagine Hafiz ibn Hajar, and this person he was the Grand Mufti of the Ulum Deoband, so for years and years he's done mutala. So he used to say these three people's Hafiza is very strong. So there was one person called Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, and people used to know him Hafiz. So Allah make you Hafiz. So Hafiz of the Quran, and also the Hafiz of Hafiz al-Hadith. There isn't no Hafiz al-Hadith left in the world. There was one last one in Pakistan. Maybe there may be in the Arab countries. But in the subcontinent countries, there is no Hafiz al-Hadith. Hafiz Abdullah, Hazrat Maulana Hafiz Abdullah Darkhasti, he passed away at the age of 106. He's passed away. There was the last one left, right? His son used to always come here, Maulana Fidaur Rahman, with the white beard, if you've seen him. Even in Darussalam too. So he was the last one from the subcontinent who knew over 10,000 hadith with isnad. So Hafiz, mashallah, Allah make you a Hafiz. Allah make us all strong Hafiz of Quran hadith too. Okay, so your name is Hafiz, right? And I know all these kids' names too. So what was I talking about before that? Yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was Nabiul Ummi. And I was talking about Quran as a mu'jaza, as a miracle. Indeed, it's a miracle. It's amazing. We have the Quran, we think it's not. But how great is the Quran? What's the status of the Quran? Allahu Akbar. You know, on the Day of Judgment, there will be nothing that will fight your case. You know, in the court, right? If you have a case in the court in front of the judge, you want the best lawyer to win your case, right? Imagine us who are Hafiz of the Quran. And it's not just for the Hafiz too, it's for everybody. Al-Quran, Hujjatul Lak, Awalayk. Quran will be a proof for you or against you. Either it will fight the case for you, or it will fight the case. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, there is no stronger intercessor for anybody than the Quran. For anybody, anything, nothing is more stronger than the Quran as an intercessor. So imagine if we have that. Okay? So Rasulullah ﷺ, he was Nabi al-Ummi. But look at this. There's one ayat, there's two ayats in the Holy Quran, that in the whole ayat, there's the 29 letters of the Arabic alphabet in this one ayat. And there's two ayats like that. One is the ayat in Surah Ali Imran. ثُمَّ أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا يَغْشَى طَائِفَةً مِنْهُمْ وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ يُخْفُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا لَا يُبْدُونَ وَطَرَا. SubhanAllah. Amazing stuff. We're just cool here. You're sabak today? Okay, what ruku?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you're not sure. Is it before half or after half? Third para, right? Before half or after half?
Before half.
The second last ruku before half. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina tuti fariqum ladhina. Yeah, just before, right? Just before half, right? Check it out. And this, another ayat. Check out the 29 letters of the Arabic. So check it. Alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, ho, dal, dal, wa, za, sin, shin, so, bo, bo, wa, ain, hoin, fa, qaf, kaf, lam, mim, noon, waw, ha, hamza, yeah. All of them will be in that one ayat of the Holy Quran. And there's another ayat of the Holy Quran, like that too, right? You check it out, Hafaz. Another, all you Hafaz ready, because I'm going to ask you where it is, what surah, what para. Right? It's easy too. Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. There's only one ayat that begins like that. There's Umma Muhammadun illa Rasul. So that's not Muhammadur Rasulullah there. What's another ayat with Rasulullah? Wa khatamun nabiyyin. Muhammadun Aba. So there's not Muhammadur Rasulullah there too. So there's only one. So I only have to tell you Muhammadur Rasulullah. What para? What surah? Come on. Let's go.
26.
Last ayat of Surah Fat. You know, and 3-4 weeks ago in Talim we had this. This is from Hajjat Hassan's book, The Beauty of the Prophet Muhammad, Jamal Muhammad, in English translation. So he's talking about this in his speech that he's doing. And he's talking, and then I told these guys to do it. I don't know if they did it. Did you do it? Oh, you did. You checked it out. He does. I know he does his homework. Did you do it? Oh, you checked it. Hanif, did you do it? Did you do it? Oh, all of you done it. SubhanAllah, that's good. I done it the next day too. Come on, I said that I have to do it too because I've never checked it. So I went and I checked this ayat and that. You know, another thing that I saw, listen to this one. You know, another amazing thing I saw? Muhammadur Rasulullah walladheena ma'a shiddaa'u al-kuffar is what number ayat of that surah? Of one of the Quran. Huh?
29.
Cool, dude. He just guessed it, and that's right. What ayat is it? How many letters are there?
Oh,
that I just picked up from my pocket. I got the Hazrat doesn't mention that, but I said Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Hey, so there's thousands of things like this in the Quran. They have all this other stuff, hundreds of things like that, and then scientists and all this stuff. But even if the science in the whole world could be wrong, the Quran and the Hadith can never be wrong, right? But beloved friends, we have a ni'mat, the Holy Quran. Allah's made us hafiz of the Quran. You know, it's very, very important. You know, I say to my friends sometimes, that, you know, like I say to my ulama friends too, no matter how evil we are, in society we cannot be evil. When people look at us, they should not say, oh, Mawlana Zakariya is an evil person. Only I know and my Allah knows. I do not claim my purity. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Nobody can say, oh, I'm pure. But in society, inshallah, people cannot point a finger that he's evil. Yeah, on an individual basis, a person can have a grudge with me or somebody, but I don't have grudges with anybody. But a person can't say this person's evil. If anybody, they say, no, alhamdulillah, he praises salat 5 times, zahiran, from the zahir, from the open, we know him to be good. And I say that to my friends, it's very, very important, this. And then, now, I'm going to give you a proof that why it's important, and another thing, it's for the sake of Allah too. So you're doing it so that people call you good. Okay, I'll tell you, look. Nisbat, your connection with something. When somebody looks at Abdul Azim, they don't just look at him as Abdul Azim, the son of Sayyid Mubarak al-Sayyid, this and that, this and that. But they also look at him, Hafiz of the Quran. Right? Hafiz Isa, Hafiz of the Quran. Hafiz Minhaj, Hafiz of the Quran. Right? Hafiz of the Quran. They lead us in Tarawih and Ramzan. Hafiz of Samla, Hafiz of the Quran. So you represent, your nisbat is with the Quran. You represent the follower and the one who holds the Quran in his heart. So when somebody sees you, then they also see that he's connected to the Quran. Right? And, do you need something? So when a person is connected to the Holy Quran, then his behavior in society should be like this, that if anybody is to look at him, they should never ever feel, no, I don't want to make my son Hafiz. Look, this person became a Hafiz, he forgot. Look, this person became a Hafiz and he did this. Oh, I don't want to make him Alim. Ulamas do this. Alim does this, so and so. Jeannie, does he? Oh, counting for pizza. Have you ordered the pizza? Yeah, so it should be here by 12 o'clock. I mean, 1 o'clock. Oh, you guys check it out and say that we'll give the money if they. But I think they're going to think it. Huh? You have a lot of money? Half is of the Quran. Do we go hungry? All of us at half is go hungry? Never. We have the most, alhamdulillah. You know, in America, when I led the Ravi, and I was in the fourth year of the studies, and I used to lead the Ravi, and all the doctors, they're all millionaires. I only had one person. You know Mufti Kamani? You know Mufti Hussein Kamani? Only his father wasn't a very big rich guy. All the other ones, rich doctors. And there's a lot of doctors and this and that. And I used to say to him, I feel sorry for you guys. I even see beep, beep, beep. You guys don't even have, you know, peace. You know, and I used to, you know, really think them, joke around with them. Well, but look, the Quran, and you're leading big people in Tarafi. It doesn't matter. Why the Quran? Nobody's better than you. Nobody's more cooler than you. You're the coolest. If you have the Quran, you're the coolest, man. Understand? You have the Sunnah, you have the Quran, you're the coolest. Just tell them to order a little bit extra too. It's all right. Because the brothers are coming in. So what was I talking about? The ayat of the Holy Quran. Right? Muhammadur Rasulullah. Check it out. Right? Check out from 1 to 29 in this ayat. Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ashada. Right up to the end. Is there 29 letters? Count them one by one. Understand? Now imagine if Rasulullah was a Nabi al-Ummi, can he compose with his intelligence by himself if it wasn't a mu'jizah? It is a mu'jizah. Nobody, if a person is an ummi, unlettered person, how could he do this by himself or do it like with his knowledge? This is something amazing. Okay, now besides the Quran, Rasulullah SAW is just masnoon khutbah, the one I read. Probably did I read it? Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkal alayh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. Even that, the ulamas, they give commentary on it, that in itself is a mu'jiza too of Rasulullah, from such eloquence in the khutbah too, that to nobody could ever compile something like that. That's not Quran either. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was given Jawami al-Kalam, the hadith. So beloved friends, when Allah has given you this, that you are the people of the Quran, Hafiz. And then alhamdulillah, even the other youngsters, inshallah, if we're not Hafiz, at least we're the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the people of the Quran, that we have the final book. We are the followers of the final prophet. So all these ni'mats upon us, and then we turn from these ni'mats, we don't pay importance, we don't show importance to these things. How bad is it? And I said, look, if I'm an alim and I do something wrong, then people on an individual basis, Imam Zakaria did this wrong. But another thing they will say, alim, and then ulama. So hafiz. So one is mushfiq. Oh, mushfiq did this wrong. Oh, mushfiq. But then he's a hafiz of the Quran. So we represent like outside. In this world that we live in Canada, majority of us, when we're out there, especially now, in this 10 years, probably over 95% of the world, besides maybe those in the Amazon jungle who still live without any electricity or that, somewhere in the maybe the jungles of Australia or something, maybe those people, besides that, over 95 or 98% of the world knows Islam and Muslim. So overall, any one of us who's not Hafiz or Alim, when you go out there and I go out there and we do something, many times now people say Muslim. And I will give you an example. Say we're youngsters outside talking and chilling with the friends, right? Out on the sidewalk. There's an old lady walking, right? We're blocking the whole sidewalk, yapping away, and nobody even has the courteous to be, because to show courtesy, to show love, respect, and affectionate. There's an old lady walking with bags. What a believer should be doing? Excuse me, madam. Can I give you a hand? Forget that. But we do the worst crime is that we block the whole sidewalk. She can't even go. She has to go right on the street. So now, when we did something like that, especially if we had a, it doesn't mean that you take off your beard or something. And you have the kurta. Even if it's not like that, usually this happens outside the masajids and that. So they know this is a Muslim. Oh, okay, yeah. See, the media does talk about it. They won't do that. It's really rare. Yes, sorry about that. I can't say that because when you see those youngsters in school, they'll be skateboarding all over the street. And you give them one honk and you get 20 swears. And if it's winter, you get 20 snowballs on your car. So you can't say nothing to any of these youngsters nowadays, right? So that will happen with these ruffian youngsters. But I'm talking about their educated people. You won't see that no matter what. And all these things is from Islam. Give the right of the way. Give a right of the sidewalk, of a place where people pass by. What is the right? This. And so this is also a right. Eh? For sure, a person should not be inconvenienced. If a person's walking on the street and he sees glass, then what should he do? He should pick it up and throw it to the side or in the garbage. He sees a nail, pick it up. But we don't do these things. And halakha, these are very big things. Another thing is, when people see you represent something nowadays. You represent ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of us, even the ones who are not hafiz, we represent outside in society. This person is a Muslim and he follows a man they call Muhammad, peace be upon him. Some might have a negative thing about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and majority will be just neutral, and very much who are not believers too will have a good impression of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? But you show that outside in society that you are connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. Now, besides outside the common people, in the masajids and amongst the Muslims, if you're a hafiz, you show that you're a leader, that you're a hafiz. If you're an alim, people know you're an alim. So when an alim does wrong, when a hafiz does wrong, when a hafiz is doing, then people will say, and people can say that, look, oh no, I don't want to make my son hafiz. Look at him. After 4 years, 5 years, he's not reading Quran at all. And he forsake Quran. And look what he's doing. He's the leader of the bad gang. So we were the cause of others going off. So when Allah has given you a status, Allah has given you a status as being a citizen of Canada, okay. You have that is according to the worldly thing that you're a citizen of Canada. So now you have all these things. When the person goes to the thing and he takes the oath in front of the judge, he lifts his hands and he says this and that. So when you're a ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have responsibilities. So out in society, people know you're a follower of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you're a Muslim. When you do something wrong out there, people straight away, one is he done wrong, but then also. Muslim. See all that bombarding that they get in media and that, it just gives them a more negative thing. This is why it's very important. That's one aspect. And then there's an aspect that in the society of the Muslims, a person who's a hafiz, he's an alim, people don't just look at you as an individual, but they look at you as a hafiz. Also in Ramzan, he'll lead us in Taraweeh. We never ever see him in Fajr Salat. So only in Ramzan he reads Salat? No. So who can be excused? He can't. He's not sick. He's not paralyzed. He doesn't got cancer. He's not in the bed. So what excuse can we make for him? Oh, there's not another masjid nearby. The other masjid is half an hour away, yet 10 minutes away. Or we went to that masjid too. He wasn't there too ever. So you see what I'm saying? And Allah's given you the Quran. Allah's given you. And like I said, reading the Quran, then acting upon the Quran and preaching the Quran. These are three aspects that we have to know that. So this, beloved friends, we have to understand that if we are hafiz of the Quran, Allah has made us ulama, hafiz, then where do we stand in society? What should we be doing? And for a person who's hafiz of the Quran, he every time he does something, he should think, look, in Ramzan, I'm going to lead people in Taraweeh, in people. And remember what I said to you at the beginning here. I said to you, remember this is not shirk kafi. This is not the smaller type of shirk. That means it's called riya or showing. Riya or showing. Why? It is for the sake of Allah. I'll tell you the proof of that. Why is it the sake of Allah? You are doing it that people might... Well, if people see that I'm like this, I have given them ill feelings towards Huffaz, the one who holds the Quran. How can that be? Maybe their relative, somebody, or maybe their son, they want to make hafiz, but then they decide no, because they're like this, or because they're... Okay, graduate from a certain school. I'm graduate from Darul Umbari. No. Darul Umbari graduates are like this. They don't do nothing. So, you understand what I'm saying? Your nisbat, your connection with all these things, you have to make sure. Somebody says, oh, he's graduated from Cornwall, and no. These Huffaz. So actually, Alaki, the institute, everything, for the sake of Allah, this is, but we've put a name on it. Like I said, a person does something wrong outside in society, people say, oh look, he's a Muslim. So people turn off Islam. Where else? You're coming, for example, yesterday, I give an example, in the daily life, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the blessings of my teacher, Allah's fazl, sometimes, it's just common sense. I dropped off my son the other day, and then I was going, just on Friday, I was coming back, and there was a lady trying to go up the stairs with her stroller. So many times people will just pass by and show, they're very independent people. And she would just go. And she was, I said, oh, madam, can I help you? And she was trying to get it, and I helped her. Now, the issue is the beard and that. When somebody sees you bending down, somebody sees you, you know what the first impression that they get, he's a Muslim. And Muslim, he has a heart. So, forget all that media and whatever they say. So you put a positive impact on them straight away. And you know how important that is? Maybe just for that one act, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could say on the Day of Judgment, you know what? You made a ummati think positive of me. Because you are connected to Rasulullah. You are ummati of Rasulullah. And the religion. This is a very big thing. Like that. And then, like I said to you, Huffaz and ulama, that how important is it that we show that alhamdulillah, and that is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. Like a sahabi, once he was reading the Quran, and Rasulullah listening to him. And then, the next day, he said to him, you would have been much happy, you would have been very happy yesterday night if you had seen me listening with so much eagerness and so much appreciation of your Quran. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, oh, if I knew that you were listening, I would have prolonged my salat and kept on pleasing you. So was that shirk? Is that riyah? It's for the sake of Allah. Rasulullah is happy, Allah is happy. Your dad is happy, Allah is happy. Your mom and dad is happy, Allah is happy. How do you say? Lidl Rabbi fi lidl walid. Okay. Hafiz of the Quran never goes for Fajr. He thinks. And the father is telling him, come on, look, I'm going for Fajr, your other brother is going for Hajr, and people are going to think, but then he thinks, you know what, my dad's upset. I'll make my dad happy, I'm going to go for Fajr Salat. So, why do you want to make your father happy as a believer? Thinking about his inheritance. We're all poor guys, man. I'm going to get his house and his Ferrari after he dies. He's going to write on my name. Nobody thinks like that. See what I'm saying? What is a believer going to think of actually? He's going to think, my dad's going to be happy with me. And then what's going to happen? Well, your dad's happy with you. Your mother's happy with you. Allah's happy with you. So you made the intention that, oh, my dad will be happy with me. So is it for Allah or not for the sake of Allah? Here the sahabi is saying, I would have made my salat longer if I knew that you were listening to me, Ya Rasulullah. So was it for Rasulullah's sake? Was he doing shirk, kafi? Was he doing ostentation? Was he doing riyah? Or was it a class? It was a class. Nothing wrong with it. Hey, you guys, there's no sisters downstairs, is there? What is he downstairs? Yeah. Hey, downstairs. So, alhamdulillah, this is one thing, for especially for the Hufaz and all of us. And alhamdulillah, right now, when we look at the situation of the Ummah of Rasulullah, we see out there, I don't know, I try to, you know, I sent out this video that I got from thing. I even sent it to Munsif, to Medina Munawwara. I don't know if you guys got WhatsApp. I don't think you do. You have WhatsApp? No. Yeah, you do? I don't. I should forward it to you too. Right now, you know, in the situation in Burma, these little kids here too, you can't even talk about it. The halat, you know, that madrasa that got burned down. You saw the situation there. You see the ummah is in the situation like this. And another thing, Allah is always showing us today, day by day, people are converting to Islam. They're becoming so strong followers of Quran and Sunnah. You even get converts who actually sacrifice their everything to seek knowledge of Quran and Hadith. They even become hafiz, and they even become ulama. From the age of what? From the age of 20, 25, they're becoming ulama. And Allah has given us everything, alhamdulillah. We have such a big ni'mat. Understand? And this is something that we should be thinking, that look, my status of that what I am right now, if I don't make use of it and I don't appreciate, I don't thank Allah. One way is by verbally thanking Allah. Oh Allah, all praises for you, Allah, alhamdulillah. This is the best way to praise Allah. Rasulullah SAW said, أَفْضَلُ الذِّكْرِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The best form of dhikr is لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَأَفْضَلُ الدُّعَى الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. And the best form of dua and the most afzal dua is alhamdulillah. And we make this every day and every rakat. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this dua. So alhamdulillah. So that's verbal, showing gratitude verbally, showing thanks verbally. And what is gratitude physically? Is doing what Allah commands and refraining from what Allah forbids. In respect of a hafiz, he's got the Quran. Now what should he do? Oh, first of all, is he's got the Quran. So I said, you know, recitation of the Quran, acting upon the Quran, preaching the Quran. So first is that you have the Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen to this hadith, ta'adul Quran, ta'ahadul Quran, keep guard of the Quran. And obvious, who's this? Who are the audience of this hadith? Is the Hufaz. Or, it doesn't mean Hufaz, it means you know Surah Tabarak, you know Surah Yasin, you know Surah Kaf, you know the Amma Para. Even that much you know. Ta'adul Quran. Yani, keep guard of the Quran. Ta'adul Quran, فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَصِّيًا مِنَ الْإِبِلِ فِي عُقُلِهَا. I swear by that being who has my life in his hand. Yani, I swear by Allah. I take an oath by Allah, wallahi, by Allah, that the Quran escapes from the heart more quickly and more swiftly than a camel that is tied up. The Arabs, when sometimes they would tie a camel both legs like this, so it does not run away, right? So soon as it's untied, it runs. It just starts running because it's off. You know, like they say, put a thing off the leash and it just runs. So the Quran will escape from the heart more quickly than that. So if we have the Quran, 3-4 years we study, and then we don't read the Quran, then what's going to happen? We're going to forget. And listen to this. If you're weak, and when you... I always give an example of myself. When I even became a hafiz in Darul Badia, that's Allah's ni'mat. Sometimes I just ponder over. And I always say to my students, and I, you know, when a student is weak, I say, you know, if... You think you're weak. I was weak when I was becoming hafiz. My ustad said, no, I cannot become a hafiz. And what they usually do in the ulum, in these institutes, a student who does not become a hafiz, quickly, a couple of months they see, and he's not progressing, what they do is they put him in alim class. Then inshallah, after alim, you'll become a hafiz. And they do sometimes. So that was my situation. I did the first part up, repeated. I studied at home by my mom and dad. So you can just imagine my tajweed. You know, this anguta chap, you call it anguta chap. You know, before days, they didn't know how to sign. So they used to take the ink, and they used to, this is the way they sign, is they put their finger. So anguta chap. Anguta chap means when a person doesn't know something, right? Like me, who doesn't know, he's, you know, so ignorant, illiterate. So, and obvious, our parents have not studied tajweed. And today the advantage we have in listening to the different a'immas of the haram, how the youngsters read Quran today. So I never had studied English in Hell. I just studied by mom and dad. Used to come from school for 10, 15, 20 minutes. Used to, you know, Alif Ba Ta Tha. Didn't even know Alif Bet Te Thay. Studied like that. And didn't even know Nazra Prabhu. So when I went to the Ulum, I couldn't really become a Hafiz. I had to reread the first Bara 3-4 times. 1983, this is. And, okay, when I became a Hafiz, I was very weak. Very, very weak. But alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah, I've never led less than 8 rakat tarawih. Even after I became in 1995-96, you know Maulana Muhammad Mangera, Mufti Abdullah's brother, Maulana Azim's brother, the oldest brother, Mufti Mangera, Muhammad Mangera, him and me, we used to lead tarawih where? In Thornhill, in a nursing home. He used to stay at my house in Richmond Hill. We used to go about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And he would read 12 rakat tarawih and I would read 8 rakat. But he all day he would be like, all right, cool, cool, and just he would read a little. And me, I'll be sweating all day. Such a way that I'll be studying that my parents, my sisters, and everybody feels sorry for me. It's like, you know, this guy's on a death sentence and he's gonna be chopped off like this? Like, it's so scary. You know, 8 rakat tarawih. And oh, how am I gonna get through it? And you think I can take out his mistakes? I don't even know. You know, just get through it like that. Really, this is how it was. This why I give this example to students is that don't think that, oh, I am weak or my Quran is weak, I can never make it strong. Right? That's one secret, is you don't forsake the reading of the Quran. There was a friend of mine in England. He was my cousin, Monana Yahya. He's 2 years ahead of me. He's younger than me, but he was ahead of me. And he graduated 2-3 years ahead of me as an alim too. He was my cousin. When I was a student, once I said, he was just read the Quran. So I said to him, how much do you read? So he goes, oh no, I read, alhamdulillah, one Quran in 1 week. I said, you read one Quran in 1 week? Allahu Akbar, how do you do that? And I freaked out. He, subhanAllah, 1 week he finishes one Quran. And you know what? This was the practice of majority of the Sahaba. Majority of the Sahabas, in 1 week, they used to finish one Quran. This is why we get the manzil. In our subcontinent Qurans, that we get the manzil. This is a manzil, a halting place. Right? A majority. Majority of the Sahabas, this was the common practice. It was the trend of the day. That this is how much they used to recite. 1 week, one Quran finished. Khalas. Right? And some 3 days. Some 2 days. And the experts, like Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan, who passed away with fasting, reading the Quran, and that's the way he was martyred, with the Quran, Allahu Akbar, what a status is. His status in himself as who he was his status. But imagine reading the Quran, fasting, and your blood goes on the Quran, your head chopped off, and you're reading the Quran. Why is he? One night, one Quran he used to do. Imam Shafi, Imam Hanifa, our leaders. These are examples for us. One night, one Quran. Imam Shafi. This was regular practices. Imam Shafi in Ramadan, two Qurans, one in the day, one in the night. Okay, we can't do. But when, so the majority of the Sahabas used to, and I used to think, but you know what? When my cousin said this to me, I was starting, when will I read 1 week one Quran? 1 week one Quran. And I tell you, wallahi al-azim, it is very easy for a hafiz. It doesn't happen after you become a hafiz. After a year, 2, 3, 4 years, you keep reading the Quran. I was so weak when I became a hafiz, I couldn't even lead 8 rakat in tarawih. I used to be shaking and worried all day. 20 out of the hours, it was probably 7-8 hours of learning that half juz. And then shaking in tarawih, finishing the 8 rakats. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ The Quran describes your heart becomes just a pain. It's just going to come out, right? And then, you know, the sweat. Abdulaziz, you remember the first years when you lead tarawih in the 4 rakats? You know, it's a big thing. These hufaz go here. This is why I say to the people out there, you know, it's not easy. You know, when you first, you know, it's not. It's and you think about those days, subhanAllah. Right? And I was very weak, very weak. But I had intention that I'm going to read this much Quran. And it's been for years that alhamdulillah, easily. And wallahi razim, it's laziness. To do Quran in 3 days for me is a piece of cake, no problem. But laziness, because we're all lazy. We don't have a busy schedule like the way our Salafs did. There are people in the Salaf like Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi, when I talk about those, or the Tabi'ins, who were so busy. But even then they had that much time. We have the time, we have all the time in the world, but we don't. So if a person makes this target, for you Hufaz, 3 paras, or 1 para, we did 3 times. Never forsake the Quran. You go into public school, you go to university, you go to college. Never. Like the way you eat a breakfast, you have a lunch, and you have a dinner. In England, we have afternoon tea time too, at 4 o'clock. Right? And the Canadians, they don't have tea time, but you might have Tim Horton times, right? And that you waste time because you're with your buddies and Tim Hortons for half an hour of that. So, listen. Today, we say we don't have time. Of course we have time. If we have time for eating and drinking, this is for our dunya and akhirat. So how come we don't have time to read the Quran? For sure, in the whole 24 hours, take out time to read the Quran. Take out time. Every day. What you should aim for is that I want my Quran like this, that somebody says, after Dhuhr Salat, 1:45 is Zuhar, 2 o'clock, you start reading the Quran. And by Asr, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6:30, four and a half hours. Start after Zuhar to read Quran. You have to do the whole Quran in one sit. Make your target like that, that I should be able to sit in one gathering, read the Quran from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah Nas. And Allah will give mistakes, and if you don't, you know, the achievement should be that, let me try to do it without any mistakes. So imagine how much a person has. So can you ever forsake the Quran? Right? Make that intention, that I will be in a man, I will make my Quran like this, that I can sit in one gathering, read the whole Quran. That's number one. And then after that, you could do that, I will sit in one gathering, read the whole Quran without any mistakes. So if I got 15 mistakes, then 10 mistakes, then 7 mistakes, and then 3 mistakes, and then no mistakes. And in that, inshallah, by then we'll meet Allah. But whatever the case is. And then you know what's for you up there? You're just going to ascend the stages of Jannah. وَرْتَكِي وَرَتِّلُ كَمَا كُنْتَ تَرَتِّلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْ سَنْ And your abad is the final ayah you're going to read. So that's what is Rasulullah telling us. And he said, who's the best amongst you? Al-Hal wal-Murtahil. He finished one Quran. Al-Hal means the person who stops. Murtahil, then he carries on the journey. So you're, and then you start. This is why the sunnah is that after you read the Quran, then after wala dhalin, ameen, then you read ulaika la hadahum min rabbihim ulaika al-muflihun up to there. It's just a custom nowadays. It's not supposed to be a custom, it is a sunnah. And the Sultan encouraged this. And what does that mean? Another Quran. Right? And all the benefits of the akhirat are there. You know, and for every letter you get this much reward. But beloved friends, this is what you should aim for. Okay? How many of you, Hufaz, how much do you read?
Two Juz.
Every day you read one Juz. Do you read it? Do you repeat it? But there's another way of doing it. One Juz, 3 times. Or half Juz, 6 times. Because when you want to make things strong, if you do one Juz, 3 times. So you might even do quarter juice, that many times to repeat. So it equals up. But make your intention, now I'm Hafiz al-Quran, I should do 3 juice. So if you do quarter juice, how many times? Come on. 12 times, so that's 3 juice. If you, for example, that's when you want to make it strong. So how much do? You say?
1 to 2.
Every day?
Yeah, but I listen, I have this students that are doing other juice with me.
Ah, so clever guy. See this?
So I get to listen to
it. Alhamdulillah, very good. That makes us strong too. Yeah. And there's a lot of virtues. Rasulullah said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, I want to hear the Quran from you. He said, Ya Rasulullah, is revealed to you? And he started reading. And when he came to the ayat, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ مَتٍ بِشَهِيدٍ Rasulullah started crying. He said to Ubayy ibn Ka'b, وَأَكْرَمُ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ ibn Ka'b, O Ka'b, read the Quran for me. He said, Ya Rasul, Allah has said to me to listen from you. He said, Allah took my name? Ubayy ibn Ka'b. So it's sunnah, even for a hafiz to listen. So with that intention, you should. Good. And become strong. How much do you read?
One
juz of the Quran every day. And you read it how many times?
Just once.
Once. Just one juz once. Okay. How much do you read? Are you hafiz?
Yeah.
Random? Okay, no, be honest. Very good. Be honest. Because when we have another gathering after 2-3 months, why? This is not just a gathering that we're going to go. We're going to do something. Allah enable me. Because if I do it, then it's going to have more effect. My words are going to have more effect on the hearts. If I act upon what I preach, then it's going to affect you and you'll change too. Look, everybody's going to go themselves to Allah. It's your Quran. Allah's given you the Quran. Allah's given you the Quran. Allah's given you. Allah's given me. If you read, you know, it's not gonna make any. Allah's majesty, Allah's greatness is there. Allah doesn't, you know. So, but it's for our sake. So, just be honest. That's good. If you say that, you know, not on regular basis, I'm not reading the Quran, then you'll think, oh, then next time we have a gathering, and Zakariya asks, Imam Zakariya asks me, then you know, it's not gonna be good. So then, sometimes we need things like this. So, Anna, let me do a certain amount, right? So every day, you know, beloved friend. Make it like the way we eat food. This is the way we have to do Quran. In fact, you can sacrifice, and I can sacrifice a meal, because physically it won't have that much detrimental effects on us. Maybe it might. If it does, then we should eat a little bit to think that. But Quran, if we forsake that, in one narration where Rasulullah wakes up and he says the next morning about a dream, long dream he had. And then one aspect of the dream is I saw somebody swimming in blood trying to get off to the other side of the stream and get out of the pool of blood. And then a man was there with a huge stone, smashed his head. And he went back down, he tried to get back and back down. This kept on happening. This was the person who slept through the Quran at night and did not read the Quran at night and act upon it, meaning he forgot the Quran. And one way of forgetting the Quran is not reading it. Okay. So you don't have a regular routine of reading the Quran. You
have to.
Huh? Half juz to one juz. Just once you read it?
I say it to a teacher.
MashaAllah. So that means you learn it. Very good. If you can get a teacher, me, I'll tell you, listen to this. Every day I do quarter juz, half is arif, and he does it to me. Every day. Since years. When my father-in-law was here 3 years ago, me and Hafiz Arif, I used to do tajweed, I'll quote just to him, my father-in-law. And he tried to learn the proper tajweed. He was a proper Qari, because he stayed in Egypt for many years, my father-in-law. When he was here 3 years ago, just 3 years ago. As Ali and there, they used to be at the back, I used to teach them, then I give everybody chutti and then, and I used to do quote juice. Yeah. So alhamdulillah, this is why when you say if our teacher did it, then we should do it too. So that's the most ideal thing. But if you're teaching, alhamdulillah, then you won't have time maybe to do it to somebody. But alhamdulillah, that's the most ideal thing. Why? The pressure is there that if I do half, I have to learn my half to my teacher. Huh. Who else is Hafiz? Hafiz? Osama, how much are you doing?
I say half
power
to my teacher.
Huh?
I say half power to my teacher.
All, every day. Alhamdulillah. And since Hifz, you always had a teacher to do it to. Mashaab?
Very well, one. I also do madrasa
too. And you do madrasa too. MashaAllah. No, very good. This is what a teacher always desires from his student. That they're doing kimmat of deen. What is knowledge for? To pass on to others. Alhamdulillah, Allah accept us. Allah accept. One child we can even teach alif ba ta tha, because Allah might say, oh, he's reading, now he's a hafiz, we're in our grave, Allah say, I forgive you. Or somebody, we have, you know, something we neglect, you know, our salat or something's not perfect, but there's somebody reading that we taught. Even if the angel comes to beat you, but another angel says, leave him, there's somebody reading the Quran. But alhamdulillah, it's good. But try to have some regular routine of reading the Quran too. Yeah. That this much amount I'm going to read every day. And I said, like, try to go for the manzil or 1 week, one Quran khatam, or 3 days, one Quran khatam. It's not a big deal. Wallahi, I could do it, but I once, after Ramzan, I said to my mom, make dua, I started 3 days Quran khatam. But what I do is, I always get back onto my, it says the best deed in the sight of Allah is that done regularly, constantly. So I knew that if I come back, then I'll come back to my manzil. So I did it for 20, 25, 30, 40 days, but I got lazy. And then I stopped that 3 days. Like my father-in-law, every 2 days, 3 days he used to finish too. The Sheikh used to finish that. And it's easy. It's not hard. Wallahi, I can do Quran every 2 days. I can finish one Quran khatam without any difficulties, but I don't. It's laziness. It's laziness. Wallahi, it's laziness. I know myself. Okay, it's laziness. I have all the time in the world. I know the time I have. That I can do every 2 days one Quran khatam. And if I put a little bit extra effort, I can do one Quran khatam every day with all the things that I do normally. No extra time. Normally. It's just that extra time means that I'll take an hour for an extra Quran. So take out time. How much do you do?
Half to one.
Half to one. Do you do it to Ustaz or yourself? No. You just read it yourself.
Yes.
Okay. No, you know, so yoga, if you keep reading the Quran, it'll be a time that you'll be able to read the whole Quran by heart in one gathering. But like I said, try to have that in your mind. Okay, one day I should be able to do that. So if you do have a target and you have a desire to do something, then you'll try to. All right, now you don't have no desire. You never have I told you when I was a student, I saw my cousin reading one manzil, I freaked out. And I said in my heart, and I made dua to Allah, Allah, when will it be that day that I can do one Quran in 1 week? This guy's amazing, I thought. And my cousin brother, Mawlana Yahya. And I used to think, Allah, but 1 week he does one Quran, when will I be able to do this? And after Hibs, like I said, it was weak. I forgot parah, like 24th parah totally, 25th parah totally, 16th parah totally forget. You know, those weak parahs, you know, that happens. In Tarabi when they was calm, you're really shaking. So that happens. That happens. But what is it? You know what the another secret of the Quran is? The more you turn, the more it turns from you. And the more you get close to it, the more you get close to it. You don't read Quran for 2 days, and it'll be a 3, 4, and 5 days you don't read Quran. Today, you read Quran. Tomorrow you do Quran. You'll have like that. This is the way it is, the Quran is. So that's the way you get connected. So that was for the Hafiz. And for all of us, you know, let's get Quran, read the Quran, go to, you know, if you become a Hafiz of the Quran, Allahu Akbar, the best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. So there's nobody who can be better than you. Either you should be learning the Quran, or you should be teaching it. And when Allah has given you the Quran, you think somebody better than you in respect of some worldly matters, then you have disrespected the Quran. If jealousy was permissible, it would be in respect of two things. Well, a person who Allah has given the Quran, and day and night he's reading it and acting upon it. Another person, Allah has given wealth, and he spends it for the sake of Allah, day and night. So these two. Allah has given, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and talk about the fitans and the tribulations and trials that are going to come. And today we're full of those things. Internet and all these things, full of these things. And all Muslims are being, you know, massacred. Muslims being, you know, innocent lives being taken. The halat of the ummah is severe, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What is mal makhraj minha? What is the way out of this tribulation trap?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by who? Jibreel sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Kitabullah. Yesterday I narrated this hadith in Jummah khutbah, but I narrated it wrong. I said Kitabullah in remembrance of death. The remembrance of death is not there. It's just the book of Allah is there. And then there's one hadith that the hearts become rusted like the way iron becomes rusted when water reaches it, metal. So the Sahaba said, what is the way to polish it? وَمَا جِلَاهَا What is the way to polish the heart? So the Sahaba said two things, recitation of the Quran and remembrance of death. And this is it, that if we think about hereafter to him, we think, one day we're going to be accountable for this, we're going to meet Allah, then a person will say, oh, how can I miss my salat? How can I do this? How can I do this? Another thing I told you is always remember, look, I'm a Hafiz. Look, if I'm a Hafiz and if I lead people in Taravi, and if I don't have a beard, you know, if my pants are over my ankles, it can't be. This is just some Zahiri stuff. Never, ever should a person look at somebody and think, oh, look how evil it is because his pants is under his ankle, he doesn't have a beard. Never. If a person thinks like that, he has a beard and he follows the sunnah and the zahir, and he thinks like that, then he's got the quality of Iblis. That's takabbur, he thinks somebody haqir. But for ourselves, that how important it is, I'll tell you how important it is. Look, some, you know, people think the beard, I'll talk about the beard, that's one aspect, is when you go out in the thing, then you get influence, and then, if people think the beard is not important, or forget the thing. You know, according to the four imams, these are real things. According to all of them, it's wujub. It's necessary. It's necessary to keep the beard. Look, if me and you do a sin in privacy, if I yesterday night committed a sin, does any one of you know? Is there anything written on my face that Zakaria has committed a sin at night? If a person went on a wrong site on the internet, pornography or something, only you knew. Is it written anything? Can anybody see? Okay. You know, they say about the beard, a person who shaves his beard, look at this. It's a sin committed in public. Why? He shaved it yesterday night, but he showed it in public. That, look, I don't have a beard. And on the day of judgment, Allah will take you and Allah will put you behind curtains. Just you and Allah. You did this, didn't you? And you say, yeah, Allah, I did. You did this. Allah will talk about the little things that you've done. Not the major sins. And you think, I'm dead meat, man. I'm gone. Yeah, Allah. Yeah. Big trouble, big beats now. Then Allah will say to you, you know what? I've covered those sins because Allah is a sattar, concealer of faults and sins. And Allah conceals, Allah hides. In the dunya, I didn't have sitar, and I showed my quality of sitar, concealing and hiding. Here too, I'm not going to shame you up here. And Allah, you know, forgive us. And then in front of the whole world, in the front of all the makhluk, Allah says, I'll go to Jannah. And you and only Allah knows how bad you are. And one narration, it says that Allah counts the minor sins, and the servant says, oh, I'm dead, and he's thinking I'm in trouble. And then Allah says, all those sins, I have changed them into good deeds. So then he says, Allah, Allah, but you forgot this sin and that sin. So it says in the hadith, and the Rasulullah laughed too. This is the way Allah does. So Allah hides. But he says that person, for example, he saw a movie at night. In the morning he told his friends, oh, that movie was great. Oh, you should watch it. He's not even supposed to tell people he saw the movie. But now he's telling that he's done this sin. And not just that, he's giving da'wah to the sin. As a killer. Right? So even to say, so if a person done something wrong at night, or a person done something on him in Allah and you, why expose it? Because Allah will say, oh, you, in the world I tried to conceal, no, astaghfirullah, I can't say the word try, because Allah doesn't try anything. I concealed your sins. But you went out in the morning, and you went out in the day, and you exposed your sin. So the ulama, they say about the beard, person in front of public, he's showing, look, I don't have a beard. That's one. And when you lead Taraweeh, then you should. Understand? So I'm just telling you that because when we go out there, many huffaz, they go, they studied, mashallah, 2-3 years in a da'arloom or a madrasa or this masjid or any masjid, and alhamdulillah, 2-3 days, they become hafiz. Afterwards, they went into school, university, they got into the mahol, they start reading the Quran, they got. Because even when you have a beard, you feel shy to do other things too. Alhamdulillah, it prevents you. And then they got off, and 4 or 5 years of dunya and that, and they forgot the Quran totally, and even their appearance is not that of a hafiz and that. Isn't that a big loss? Allah protect us. We don't look down upon anybody. Never ever look down upon anybody at any time. That's the worst thing you can do. Anybody, never ever look down upon anybody. Oh, look at him. Oh, he was studying with me, look at him. Loser. Because when you think like this, Allah can take out even your iman. So beloved friends, let's work to this, especially the hufaz and the thing. Inshallah we'll have after 3-4 months too, we'll get it together, and inshallah we'll see how much you progress in your reading of the Quran. And even for all of us, read the Quran, get connected to the Quran. Subhanallah, right now in this time of fitna, what will help us is the Quran, the hadith. Get connected to Allah's Rasul, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us. And you know these Islamic foundation, the Qiraat contest and that, we see, mashallah, when you go to them too, you get encouraged, you see the hafiz, you see how they read the Quran, subhanallah, such beauty to have, and you're studying the Quran. And this is a miracle of the Quran itself that Allah gives it to whom it is. They are Shaykh al-Hadith in the world who teach Sahih al-Bukhari. There's a person named Shaykh Yunus. When he goes to Makkah and Medina, the Arab students, they take ijazah from him. In a hotel room, students from Riyadh, Jeddah, and everywhere, they come to take ijazah and study the Bukhari. And he's the grand Sheikh al-Hadith of the subcontinent in place of Sheikh al-Hizmam Zaka in India. He is not Hafiz of the Quran. And he can narrate hadith after hadith, and he can talk about the narrators of the hadith. That's the in-depth of knowledge he has in hadith. He's not Hafiz of the Quran. It's said about Allama al-Musha Kashmiri, rahmatullah, the example that I gave of his memory, he was not Hafiz of the Quran. Is the food here?
Yeah, is it? Coming, inshallah.
It's coming?
Yeah, I think already. Yeah.
It's here?
Yeah.
Can you guys check and tell me? So, go ahead. Go and check. And just tell me if it's here, then we'll go down. I'm just waiting for the food. No, so that we can eat, because maybe after Zuhr people have some other things to do. So, beloved friends, this is why we're gathered. This is just a reminder for me and you. I'm a student too still. Always be a student. In your life, always be a student. There was a dua of Rasulullah s.a.w. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wa shini fi samit
musana. It just arrived. He said that 3-4 minutes.
That always happens. When I ask, it just arrived. Alhamdulillah. All praises for Allah. So alhamdulillah. So there's a dua that Rasulullah s.a.w. Allah keep me alive as a miskin. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina. Make me die as a miskin and resurrect me with miskin. There was a bayan for the ulamas in Masjid al-Huzaifa by Mufti Rafis of Damat Barakatuhum, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. And he said this, the miskin in this could also mean a student. Allah, make me live as a student, and Allah give me, Allah mahin miskin, give me a life of student, make me die as a student, and resurrect me with students. Always be students. Understand? Even though we're teachers, Understand? Always seek knowledge. And in this, look at that. Allah's given us Quran. We should learn more Quran. Understand? So inshallah, when I become an old man with my stick, I'll say, Hafiz Mushfiq, he'll be an old man with kids too. And I'll say, Chal Mushfiq, so now, follow Quran. Let's do the whole Quran today. Old man. And he'll say, okay, right now I can do the whole Quran to you. Let's go. 7 hours. Listen to me. No problem. And we should be able to do it, inshallah, right? But Allah give us the Quran, Allah give us connection. Allah, you know, and other things, salat and that. All of you, every day, on a regular basis, read in Fadali Amal, read about the Quran. And read about salat. Those two things, because if we lack in zikr and other things, especially those, and Fadali Tabligh too. Every day on a regular basis, that will boost you up. So the one talk, after 3-4 months, is not, but on regular basis, then you'll know the importance. You'll know if you forget the Quran, you'll know the importance, you'll know what you have, all the Quran, you'll know all about Salat with Jamaat, all this stuff. Alright? On a regular basis, inshallah, 5-10 minutes every day, you read, inshallah, you'll see your progress, inshallah. Allah nabi listu, subhanAllah, wa bihamdi, subhanakullah, wa shalallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huh? Anybody else paying me? Yeah, we can eat. Ask us, go. Have food, pizza. Chalo, bismillah, subhanAllah.